For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Hey, so happy that you joined us today. This guest I have today was the fourth guest we ever had on this show way back. That was not quite before, it wasn't BC before COVID, but we were struggling with the after effects and things.
We were
at a safe distance when we did the show. And all the shows prior to that, the other three were all done on Zoom because, you know, we couldn't get in the same room with each other. But here we are.
Here we are.
And you've come a long way, Greg Wilson.
Hey, Dave Lenihan, how are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you been?
I'm doing good, man. Good to see you again.
I don't get to run into you as much because you're one busy dude, aren't you?
I am one busy dude doing one thing or the other. Before we get started, let me brag on you a little bit. Oh. Man, how much this podcast has taken off. You should be very proud, man.
I feel good about it. Thank you very much.
I was honored to be one of the first ones you had on there. Man, you've just taken off and blown this thing up and... kudos to you, my friend.
We've got some good promoters out there that help us, you know, get the word around. So, yeah. You're amazing. You know, you're not playing as much out anymore, but you are writing more than ever, aren't you?
I'm writing a lot. I've condensed my life down to, I do play out still quite a bit, but not as much as I was. When I first came to town, I was playing probably, you know, 5-6 nights a week and all
getting
that.
Get out there.
And everybody does that when you come to town. You should do that. You know, get out and meet people and write as much as possible and play as much as possible.
That's how you build your tribe. That's how you...
It is.
You network.
And you're right. Once you find that tribe, you kind of start, you know, kind of bringing things down to those people and just working with those people. But, I've been writing like crazy, man.
That's awesome.
I'm working full-time again, but I'm not letting it affect my writing at all. I wrote 7 songs since last week, so.
How do you do it, my friend?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I've got a very understanding wife, that's for sure, so.
Michelle is amazing.
Thank you.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you in a long time. Miss you. Miss your face.
She's a sweetheart, for sure.
Yeah. When you were on the last show that you were on, you had a song, and you probably still played it called Strings Attached.
I do, yeah.
It always hit me in the heart.
Yeah. That was the first song that I wrote when I came to town. It was a solo write.
Really?
Yeah, Michelle and I, we had just come to town, and I was out, and we were at the local, at the Freak Show on a Wednesday night, and I was sitting in the audience and listening to all the writers, and I looked at her and I said, we might want to move back to Louisville. I don't think I belong here.
Oh, baloney.
But it's, something happened that night, and that idea came to me, and I said, we got to go. And she says, well, we're not going back to Louisville now, are we? I said, no, I've got an idea. So we went home, and the next day, she went to Florida with her girlfriends and was gone for a week, and I worked on it for 2 days, and our buddy Greg Matthews was the first person to hear the song. He came over, and...
love Greg.
Yeah.
But, could use your prayers right now, folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good guy. Fun guy.
One of the best.
The mayor, as we call him. So what else have you been up to, man?
Just writing, man.
Writing.
In my previous life, I was an educator. I was a teacher and a head football coach and a principal. Then I retired and came to Nashville and writing songs and meeting people. And then took a full-time teaching job again last year and been doing that for the last 2 years.
Wow.
And it's funny, soon after I took that job last year, I signed with Steve Block. And so,
Steve Block.
Yeah, so I've been writing for him, and, you know, it's not been a day off since then, pretty much.
Just working. He keeps you busy. Yeah.
Keeps me busy, yeah. And just, you know, writing a lot and working and just, I don't know.
Now, Steve Block has been on this show. If you look in past in our archives, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Pretty good guy. Song plugger.
He's okay. He's all right.
And his lovely wife, Holly. I love her.
She's a sweetheart. Now, Steve's become a good friend of mine, a mentor, and he's a good dude, man.
And he loves baseball like me. So, if you didn't hear the first Greg Wilson episode, and which was season one, we were doing seasons at the time, and episode four, Greg grew up in a very musical family.
I did.
You did, huh? You were, like, your dad was a heck of a guitar player.
My dad was, yeah. Like you said, I grew up in a musical family. My dad was an old thumb picker, like Chet Atkins, but more like Merle Travis.
The Travis picking style.
Yeah, Travis picking style, yeah.
Which is a trick.
It really is, yeah.
Did you ever learn that?
I tried. I had it for a little bit, but unless you stick with it.
Well, you got to.
But yeah, I just realized that I think my gifts are probably more in songwriting than trying to do that. You know, it's like chewing gum and walking at the same time. I have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, so I can never play drums. That's a deal.
Yeah, my dad was a fabulous guitar player. My uncle, a great singer, rhythm player. My grandfather was a fiddle player. My other uncle played steel guitar. So, I mean, they honestly were good enough to be on the Grand Ole Opry.
No kidding.
Yeah, that good. But, you know, they, you know, duties before dreams, you know, they had...
Life happens,
you know. So, yeah. So I'm trying to. That's one reason why I'm so involved in music. I want to carry on their legacy. You know, they didn't get that's a awesome. Chance to make their mark, and I'm trying to make it for them.
Are they still with us? Your dad? And your
no, mom? My dad passed away over 20 years ago.
20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now, did you grow up in Louisville?
I did. I grew up in Louisville. I spent my entire childhood there, and went away for college to Western Kentucky and Bowling Green, and
okay.
then. I came back home and started a family and teaching career. And then, you know, things happened, life happened, and then just ended up moving to Nashville about 5 years ago.
Now, but you did it smart, and I want to talk about that. So music has always been a part of what you did, no
always.
Matter what your full-time gig was.
Yeah, yeah.
But you did it smart. I mean, what some people, and we caution people all the time, they want to chuck their career and just move to Nashville on a dream. Right? Which yeah. is not the way to do it. You and I were very similar. You worked with NSAI, mm-hmm. Nashville Songwriters Association right. International. I did in right. Cincinnati, you did in Louisville.
Yes.
And you'd make trips to Nashville.
Right, right.
Testing the waters. Right. And did it right, didn't you?
Exactly, yeah. I do not encourage anybody to quit their job and move to Nashville. I don't want to be pessimistic or kill anyone's dreams, but I don't want you to come here and starve to death either.
No.
You know, back in the day, I know a lot of people said, never have a plan B, but you better have a plan B now. Because the music industry is so hard. It's so hard to make a living. You can do it, but man, it's hard. And,
it is.
And it's always a good idea to have something to support you. So.
You could be the most talented person. I mean, sing, you know, play and just, you know, shoot out the lights with mm-hmm. what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes more than that today. You may be the biggest thing in your hometown, right?
Exactly.
And you may be the kind of artist that could be, you know, a hit, you know, a big star.
Exactly.
But it takes more than that.
It takes more than that. The stars have to align, man.
They
you have
do.
To know people and you just have to get lucky, you know,
you
and you have to have that work ethic and never give up, and just hopefully, you know, things fall in place for you. And sometimes
about,
they do. Sometimes they do.
Talk about work ethic.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
You've got to have work ethic. You know, I carry on, you know, in my previous career as an educator, you know, I carry that into my philosophy of songwriting. You know, I show up on time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you put the time, put the effort in, you do your homework. Before mm-hmm. you go into a write, you know who you're writing with, you
right.
know, you know their styles. Especially if you're working with artists, you want to go back and listen to, you know, what they're looking for. It's, you know, it's just being smart about things. But
right.
yeah, I try to carry that work ethic from, you know, growing up and working in the school system to writing songs as well.
Hard work payoff?
Yeah, yeah, it is. I, you know, it's a slow burn in this business, you know. You meet people and I was fortunate, like I said earlier, to meet Steve and make some connections through him and, writing with a lot of, you know, cool artists and stuff, and
right.
just keep plugging away, man.
Yeah, that's it. You got to. There's no shortcuts, right?
There are no shortcuts. No.
It doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
Would you share one of your new songs with us? You are an amazing writer. Do you have a, how do you, let me ask you the question that I hate. How do you describe the music that you write and play? What's your...
Recently, I want to write something that's going to make you feel something. mm-hmm. whether that be cry, whether that be laugh, whether that be think about something, you know, be thankful for the life that you have. It always has some kind of a twist or some something in it. You know?
You're very good at that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. What you can play for us?
I'll do a new song.
Under the Hood. Now you got to tell us how it all.
Well, this is actually was born at a writing retreat down in Florida last summer.
Wow.
I met some people at another writing retreat out in Murfreesboro, and from that. Got invited to come down to Florida.
Wow.
Some really cool people. Billy McDowell, you may know Billy. He and Heather Hickox put on this writing retreat. And so they put you in different rooms with people. And so I had this idea that I carried around for a while. And it was an idea about you look at a picture, and there's so much more than just what you see in that picture.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had this idea called You Can't Fit That in a Frame.
Oh.
And so.
Love it. Love it right now, and I ain't even heard it.
So.
I found a photo in the attic of my mama and my daddy on their wedding day. Smiles on their face. Daddy in his uniform and mama just as pretty as a princess in her hand-me-down dress. It's just a moment in time. There's so much more than meets the eye. Every picture's worth a thousand words, but there's so much there that can't be heard, like the love, the joy, pain, the hurt. Now starting out takes hard work. All the sacrifices you can't see. Working two jobs and baby made three. All the life and living and memories they would make. No, you can't fit that in a frame. There was never a quiet moment with dogs and kids running around all through the house. Christmas morning and Sunday dinners, blowing out candles and birthday wishes, broken bones and stitches, all the years measured in inches. Every picture's worth a thousand words, but there's so much more that can't be heard, like the love, the joy, the pain, the hurt. Now raising five kids takes hard work. All the sacrifices you can't see, but they made sure we had all we needed, and God knows how many prayers they must have prayed. And all you can't fit that in a frame. Oh, they set the bar high for me and my wife, so one day our kids can look back and say every picture's worth a thousand words, but there's so much more that can't be heard, like the love, the joy, the pain, the hurt. How forever takes hard work. All the sacrifices you can't see. My God, what a legacy. All the life and living and memories they made. You take a panoramic view to see the world we made. And you can't fit that in a frame.
My goodness, that's something. You know, Greg Wilson, I've always considered you a songwriter's songwriter. You're just amazing.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Every song just blows you away.
I appreciate that.
Really
Thank
good
you.
Stuff. Thank you. I want to talk about your unique style. You know, we talk a lot about well, we have in the past mentioned open tunings.
Yes.
And how it's really good sometimes just to get out of the box sometime mm-hmm. and create. And you write in what we call dadgad.
It's dadgad, yeah. Yes.
You tune the E to a D and the bottom string to a D. And,
right.
And it's
D-A-D-G-A-D.
Yep. G-A-D, dadgad. Yeah. Okay.
I found that tuning to be inspiring to me. It gives you a different tone. Mm-hmm. It's got Irish elements in it, you know.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. But for so many years, I just played standard tuning or drop D tuning. Mm-hmm. And then I just started experimenting with, you know, the dadgad in a... People hear me play like you're a really good guitar player. I'm like, really not. It's all the tuning, to be honest with you. Yeah. But I write probably 90% of my songs in dadgad. So
90%.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Do you fall into the same patterns? Do you feel? Or?
Sometimes you do. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Have to be careful of not. You know. I guess creating the same melody over and over, but it kind of opens up to a lot of different, you know, opportunities and stuff. And
I think so too. And I think what's important is, you know, I've known guys, Gary Chapman, who's on the show recently, mm-hmm. says I'm in drop D all the time. Mm-hmm. My buddy, Tim Skeen, who was from Cincinnati, one of the great songwriters in Cincinnati. Again, you couldn't get him out of drop D. I mean, that was it. That's but you know what the thing is, what I feel is wherever you feel the most creative.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong, right?
No.
Yeah,
that's true,
and so that lights you up and inspires you, right?
It does, yeah. I've been playing with dadgad tuning for about the last 5 years. When I came to Nashville is when I really started doing it.
I think everything I've done with you was
probably it. So. Yeah,
I'd had to convert.
Yeah, and I always kind of drive my co-writers nuts and they're like, what chord are you playing? Like, I really don't know.
I don't know. With you. It does this, you know?
It just sounds like this. So.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So I am a hack for sure, but it's fun. So.
No, it is. And it gives you that great sound. It really does.
Yeah.
You know what else I wanted to talk to you about? One of the things we talk about on the show was how you define success. You have really clear-cut goals, don't you? And, like, you've thought about it. You know what your future holds.
Well, I hope I know what my future holds. I know what I wanted to hold. When I came to town, you know, I wanted to learn as much about songwriting as I possibly could. I've been coming to town for quite some time.
Yeah.
Even when I was working back in Louisville, I would make the trips and mm-hmm. Play the Bluebird on Sunday night and get up and drive home and get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to work. But coming to town, I want to write number one songs. I want to have songs on the radio just like everybody else. You know, is that ever going to happen? Who knows? You know, but unless you set that bar high, you're never going to get close to it. You know, but I just want to write songs ultimately that mean something to somebody, you know, that maybe will change their life or make them think or, you know, just make life better for them.
Love that. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is every now and then I'll follow you on the socials. I follow you on the socials.
Right.
Every now and then you'll have a picture of the Grand Ole Opry stage, the circle, and you go manifest, you know.
Yeah.
Tell us about that philosophy.
Well, it actually comes from my daughters. You know, uh-huh. they say, put out into the universe what you want to happen, you know.
And law of attraction, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I started doing that. And that's kind of a bold thing to do, you know. Because some people are like, what are you talking about? You're never going to play the Grand Ole Opry. What are you talking about? Maybe I won't, but, you know, unless you put it out there, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a really good example, and you probably know Ryan Larkins, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Ryan Larkins,
fabulous.
One of the great writers in this town. First time I ever saw him was at Commodore, and he just blew me away. And now today, he plays the Grand Ole Opry, and he's got a record deal, and he's got great music out there.
Absolutely.
So it can happen
for
a songwriter, right?
It can happen, exactly. And that's one thing you say for a songwriter. That it makes it tougher for a songwriter to actually do it unless you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to be a singer-songwriter performing, I think. You know, I've spent a lot of time just being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to turn that corner, I think, and start doing some stuff, as we mentioned earlier, as before artist. The show started.
Yeah.
I start doing some stuff as an artist. So I think you have a better shot of, you know, of getting on the Grand Ole Opry with as an artist, I think. But
I do too, and we've had a lot of people who made their debut on the Opry and also been on this show, people like Claire Cunningham.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And other there's been others.
Yes.
And the Davison brothers, who I love those guys. and others. So I don't think it's impossible.
Right.
But I think if you're an artist, you do have an advantage.
Right.
And, you know, I've been feeling the same way lately. So I've been recording, and I'm about to do my second coming out this year. And I think, why not? I mean, you got good songs. I mean, I know I'm not the greatest singer in the world. You are. You've got a great voice.
You are very good, Dave.
I think the songs are strong, so I'm going to put them out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to get anybody else to catch your material anymore. So, you know, if you can write the best songs and they can sit on the shelf forever, nobody's ever going to hear them. So, you know, that's a decision that I'm making. I'm going to start, you know, getting my stuff out there.
I am glad to hear that, because I want to hear more. More Greg Wilson. Who knows? Maybe you're one of those on the radio.
Maybe so. You never know. That's the hope.
Never know. The nice thing about the music business today is there is a lot of outlets for it.
Exactly.
It used to be, you know, when I was growing up, was radio. It was pretty much it. If you weren't on the radio.
Right.
But today there's a lot of things on the internet. There's, there's Spotify and there's YouTube. And I don't know at this point where we're going to be with TikTok, because we're recording this before the mandate for them to shut down. But I'm sure something else will pop up and take its place.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways to get seen and heard and go from there.
Yeah. TikTok, tomorrow could be the deadline for it. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I do have mixed feelings about TikTok. You know, I think the record companies have relied very heavy. Some, not all. Some have relied heavy more on people's TikTok followers and all that, and kind of use it as an A&R kind of thing, which, okay.
Yeah.
But for that independent artist, I mean, it's been such an outlet, you know. I put song Wake Up Call that I wrote a couple years ago.
A great song. And if you listen to our episode past, we tell that story. But go ahead.
Yeah, I put it on TikTok and got like a couple of million views. And
Did you really?
Yeah, it was crazy. And just, I'd never gone viral before, so I would sit and just read the comments from people and just cry. You know, just the stuff that they would say and comment and what the song actually meant to them. It was like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a great song.
Yeah.
You know what? This is crazy, but I want to hear it again. Okay. Would you play it for us?
I will. Let me.
The Wake Up Call. And it's a great story.
Yeah. It wrote this with a.
This opened doors for you, too.
It has. It has. It actually introduced me to Steve Block. And I wrote this with my good friends, Bill O'Hanlon, who's a great writer in his own right, and Miss Michelle Canning, who's a wonderful writer.
Michelle's amazing.
Sweetheart. And we were writing almost every other Sunday on Zoom, and this one particular day, we always come to the right, and everybody's got an idea, and we kind of type our ideas in the doc and all that, and I think Michelle was up in Boston at the time, and Bill was out in Santa Fe, and I had this idea for a song. There's nothing unique about this title whatsoever. And it was called Wake Up Call. And I think I heard my wife in a conversation. I just wrote it down because, you know, as songwriters, we're always writing out ideas and all that stuff. And so I brought it out and we decided, you know, let's write that song. And it started off being a story about like a businessman out on a trip, whatever. And he's away from home too long. And, you know, his son calls him and he gets this wake up call, you know, where you think the song would go to.
Right. But with the lots of great Greg Wilson songs, there's always a twist.
There's a twist. So we just kept digging at it and digging at it. And I said, have you ever gotten a phone call from like an elderly person who knows they've got the wrong number, but they'll continually talk to you because they're lonesome?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. And then we kept digging at it. And I said, what about a story about a little boy who's at home by himself or has a sick parent at home by himself and doesn't know what to do for help? And this thing just kind of took off, and I sat up until like 4 o'clock in the morning working on this, and Michelle and Bill and myself have worked on it quite a bit, and a lot of help from Steve Block as well.
It's a masterpiece, folks.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're going to love this.
It's called Wake Up Call. My phone rang at 2 a.m. from a number I didn't recognize. But when it rang again, I answered it, and a little voice just said hi. He said, I didn't know your number, so I just took a guess. 'Cause the man on the TV said you can always call on Jesus. That caught me by surprise, and I sat up in my bed
He thought heaven was on the other end, so I just listened when he said, Jesus, I'm so scared, and I'm so glad you're there. I've been holding on to my teddy bear. I've been saying all my prayers. He said, I keep shaking, Mama, but she won't wake up at all. And I knew that you would help us, 'cause you're the man up on the cross. There's an empty bottle by her head and some red pills on the floor. He said, I've been eating Captain Crunch, but there isn't any more. And as his little voice was trembling, my heart was breaking inside. I didn't know what else to do, so I spoke like Jesus was on the line. And I said, I know you're scared, but buddy, I'm right here. Keep holding on to your teddy bear. I've heard all your prayers, and everything's gonna be okay. Don't you worry at all. I'm sending someone to help you, but until then, let's just talk. Well, I copied down his number. My wife dialed 911 in tears. And when he heard them knocking on his door, he said, Jesus, I think your angels are here. And I hit my knees. Lord, I've been living scared, like I haven't had a prayer. It's been a while since I've talked to you. Almost forgot that you were there. But tonight you woke me up. I've been asleep for way too long. I felt your spirit move right through me. Jesus, I stand in awe. It took a scared little boy's random late night call. Oh, but maybe it wasn't random after all. God, I woke up when I got that wake up call.
Right? Oh, my. You know, there's a lot of lessons in this song. First of all, I want to tell you, there are certain songs that I know exactly where I was when I first heard. And we were at a picking party, Charles and Janet.
Yeah, good friends.
And you were telling me about, you said, I think I got a good song, you know. And you were struggling what to do with it at the time.
Right.
And you played it for us around their table.
Right.
You know, kind of like we do right now. It's right. Dining room table, live music. And I heard it about fell off the chair. And I'm like, oh, my God, if you give up one dime of your publishing, you're nuts. People are going to fight to record. That's an amazing, amazing song. But here's the thing. That was a different version from what you play now. So I guess what I'm saying is, I've heard it a million times, and it really must be true that it's not writing. It's the rewriting, isn't it?
They say good songs are written where great songs are rewritten.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the old adage. Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing has been rewritten quite a bit.
Yeah.
A lot of people have listened to it. We haven't gotten anybody to bite the bullet yet. We've got it, mm-hmm. Gotten it in front of a few people. Garth actually listened to it.
Did he?
He actually called us back.
Did he really? He
called Steve and I back and said, I love this song. He said, this is a fabulous song, but this is not a Garth song.
Yeah.
He said, somebody's going to cut it and it's going to be fabulous, but it won't be me. But this song is so good, I give you all permission to send me anything you want, and I'll listen to it personally.
How about that?
Now, whether Garth means that or not, he's such a super nice guy, at least he said that.
But he seems sincere.
He does, yeah. And then Jelly Roll's camp has heard it a couple of times, but they haven't done anything with it.
Mm.
And then recently, I can't remember who else listened to it. There's been several people listen to it, but nobody has bitten the bullet. And so it's just one of those songs. It may take, you know, 4 or 5 more years, or it may never, ever get cut. I don't know, but I have no control over that. I just write it and go on with it. So
sounds like you're in the right places, though.
Yeah,
I could hear any one of those artists doing that. So
yeah, it would be life changing. So
I think it would be a I think it would be a hit. I think it would rise to the top. Yeah. I really do.
If anything else, you know, like I said, those comments that I got back from TikTok, hearing people how the song, you know, resonated with them. People, you know, saying that they had considered adopting foster kids and mm-hmm. they heard the song and they'd been on the fence, but then they heard the song and they made the decision to do so.
See, for me, that's payday.
It really is. It really is. You know, people, not that this has anything to do with someone committing suicide, but, you know, one lady sent me a personal message and she said, I almost gave up the night before last until I heard this song.
Oh.
I'm like, wow. You know, I sat in my recliner and just cry. Listen to it, you know.
I bet. Yeah. I would too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's going to go beyond that, though. I really do.
We'll see. I appreciate that.
We're going to take a brief break. Greg Wilson is our guest. This is a Songwriter Connection.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Hey, we're on all the socials, X, Instagram, Facebook. There's a Facebook page dedicated just to The Songwriter Connection Podcast. You can find us there. We love your comments. We love your suggestions. So if you're watching on YouTube, because we're there as well, please click like and subscribe. And really appreciate it. Would help us a lot. Greg Wilson is our guest from Louisville. We called him the Louisville Slugger in our last episode. He's swinging for the fences.
Swinging for the fences.
I think he's got some hits there.
A lot of foul balls. But
Well, that one you just played for us, I think that's where you connected on that. It's a home run.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll see where that goes. It means a lot coming from you, man. You're a fabulous songwriter in your own right, man. Okay. So
stop. Thank you for lowering your standards for me.
No,
I appreciate you, man.
I've been in the room with you many times. You're one of the best here in town.
I hope to do that again.
We need
absolutely.
To. Yes.
We've written some cool songs together.
We have.
You've got a whole new tribe now. Tell me some of the people you've been writing with. You've been writing with some interesting people.
I have, yeah. Most recently, wrote with the Swan Brothers.
Swan Brothers. They were like, what was it, The Voice?
The Voice with Blake, yeah.
With Blake.
And then they went on and did some stuff with Blake. And I made the connection with them through a friend of mine from out of Oklahoma City, a guy named Charlie Mangus. And his wife is a cousin's with them. And so, you know, somebody always knows somebody. So I was able to get in the room with them. And we wrote a pretty cool song.
That's cool.
Been writing with Rory of Ryan and Rory. They just got signed to Broken Bow. They got signed to Broken Bow.
Big time.
Yeah, so wrote with some songs with Rory and haven't heard anything back from it yet. But, you know, it's just a slow burn. You just, you know, you kind of climb the ladder a little bit and get knocked back and just keep on going, though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah, some of my favorite writers in town, you know, Mr. Hal O'Dell and Zach Hennard and
Zach. Just played with Zach a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw Zach last night, yeah.
He's doing really well.
He is, he is.
Come a long way, man.
He has, he is.
His performance was fantastic.
Yeah, he's really coming into his own, yeah.
Yeah, and has been at the Bluebird a few times.
He has, yeah.
Another guy you guys would write with, you and Hal and Zach with Ben Gerald.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ben, man, he's been getting rave reviews. I'm from Songwriter Magazine, from Saving Country.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that real traditional kind of country, which I think is making quite the comeback.
Yeah, it? He's a Waylon throwback for sure, you know.
He is. Man. Yeah, yeah. Love the guy. I mean, he's been on the podcast.
You've had a cut with him too, right? A Hole in the Sky.
Or... A Hole in the Sky.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
In fact, I think the reason that I... I think you couldn't make the right that day, or did you? Was it me, you, and...
No, I wasn't on that right now.
You couldn't make it, so right. They said, well, we'll get a pinch hitter in there, and they felt sorry for me.
Yeah, right. Right.
He did Zach's boat, and we wrote it. And, yeah, man.
Yeah, Ben's doing some great stuff.
He really is.
His traditional stuff, and, yeah. I mean, he's kind of, you know, doing his own thing, you know.
He is, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm happy for him. Oh, yeah. Proud of you guys. I really am. Yeah.
Right back at you, man.
Yeah. So let's hear another song, man, because I want to hear some of this new stuff you're doing. I really do.
Well, this is not so much one that that matters. You know, I do have a little bit of hillbilly in me.
A little bit.
And I wrote this song. This was also written down at that writing retreat in Florida. I wrote this with my buddy Duran Robinson. Duran's from out of Birmingham, Alabama, and a young lady by the name of Julie Reiner. And then
I like Julie. She's so sweet.
Lady from Canada, Carrie DeMeyer. And we wrote this. I had this idea called So Far, So Good.
So Far, So Good.
So Far, So Good. So.
I like that groove.
I'm barely around the corner. There's a message on my phone. She's already calling, said you'll never make it on your own. But the sun's still shining, and the sky ain't falling down. My marker 47, but I'm still feeling fine. I got tired of all her bullshit, so I finally drew the line. A million miles between us never be enough. She told me to leave and thought I never would. So far, so good. I got the windows down, ain't turning round. Got 1,000 pounds of lifting off my chest. Can't tell you where I'm going yet, but it's as far away from her as I can get. Got these horses running wild beneath my hood. So far, so good. I might stop off in the Rockies. Hell, I might head for the coast. I'd sail across the seven seas if this pickup truck could float. But the sun's still shining, and the sky still ain't falling down. Let the road rise up to meet me, knock on wood. So far, so good. I got the windows down, ain't turning round. Got 1,000 pounds left it on my chest. Can't tell you where I'm going yet, but it's as far away from her as I can get. Got these horses running wild beneath my hood. So far, so good. Well, the hardest part of leaving was just pulling out the drive. But every mile that passes, I feel so much more alive. I got the windows down, ain't turning round. Got 1,000 pounds of lifting on my chest. I can't tell you where I'm going yet,
it, but it's as far away from her as I can get. I got these horses running wild beneath my hood. She told me to leave and thought I never would. So far, so good.
Oh, I love it, man. I'll tell you, what a groove. And you got to have those up-tempo songs when you're playing.
You do.
Yeah. Your ballads will, you know, slay them, but the up-tempo gets the groove and
exactly.
gets head bobbing a little bit. There you go.
That was a fun rock that day.
Oh, man. Sounds like you had a blast.
We did. It was cool.
Yeah, and you know what I like is you take a, you know, sometimes you can just take common sayings, like, so far, so good.
Exactly.
And look, you did a whole story around it, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't always have to have a twist. You know, we wrote one the other day. It was in the room. We wrote, I should probably go. You know what I mean? Think about what you could do with a simple phrase.
Exactly.
Let's talk about where ideas come from. And especially, you know, here's a guy that's writing every single day.
Right.
And, you never seem to run out of ideas.
Well, I'm glad it's... Thank you for saying that, but yeah, my antenna is always up, as most songwriters are. You know, I'm always listening. My wife gets on me because sometimes I kind of go silent when we're in a crowd and I'm just listening, you know. And my mind's always going, but
yeah,
anything from, you know, watching television, which I don't get to do very much, and, you know, reading or just, you know, listening to other songwriters, it just, you know, you just pick up stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody will say something and you're like, how can I turn that phrase, you know, how can I take that phrase and make it something different or whatever, you know. So it's you're always looking. Antenna's always up.
Always up. Yeah. Always
up. It's a blessing and a curse, you know.
But you take an idea like that into the room, and you earlier in the show you said, you know, you dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Try to find a different way to... It's like we're trying to find new ways to say old things and set it to music, right?
Exactly. I don't know this song. I just recorded it, but I haven't played it out yet. But I wrote this with idea with the Swan Brothers and Charlie Mangus, and I had this idea called "I'd Move Mountains for You." And when you hear that, everybody's heard that before. You know, I'd do anything for you.
Yeah.
But I thought about that for the longest time and turned it into a story about a guy meeting a girl out in Colorado.
Yeah.
And she's from Tennessee.
You recorded a little bit of sign. Was that on Instagram?
Yeah.
It's great.
So she's in the Smoky Mountains and he's in the Rockies, and he's, you know, he quit his job and left everybody behind and said, I told you I'd move mountains for you. So it's pretty cool.
It is a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, you know, there's a phrase, but a little twist.
Yeah.
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 So it's good. You had a song I also loved, Good Years.
Yeah.
Good Years.
Yeah.
But dad taking son to NASCAR.
Yeah, I wrote that with Stephen Cade and Cody Kelly, actually.
Cody Kelly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that Good Years has been done quite a bit, that idea. A lot of people have written that, but we turned it into a pretty cool story.
And we weren't talking about wheels, were we?
We Tires. Weren't, no, not at all. Eventually we weren't, no.
Was that one you were prepared to play today?
I would have to do my different tuning here, so.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We'll move on.
Okay.
We'll move on. You're in your dad gad right now.
I'm in dad gad right now, yeah.
And I'm more interested to hear the new stuff you've been doing.
Okay.
Greg, I never get old. You know, I never get tired of hearing new Greg Wilson cuts.
I appreciate that. I'll play you another one that, kind of a spiritual kind of thing. I wrote this with my buddy Hal O'Dell and Big Joe Bozzelli.
Oh, Bozzelli.
Sexy Joe Bozzelli. And
he's also been on the show. And so is Hal. Yeah.
And a guy named Gary Leiter and my buddy Charlie Mangus. Charlie had us out in Oklahoma City. We went out and spent a couple of days and wrote. And one morning we...
You did a big show in Oklahoma.
We did. We played the Will Rogers Theater.
Oh, my God.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was a cool night. And that same week we... all got together and just wrote a few songs. And Gary came in the room with some ideas and about people turning to the wrong things in life for inspiration and direction and advice and stuff. And we kind of sat and talked and talked and talked. And so we wrote this song called Wishing Well. And it's told from the perspective of a wishing well.
Oh, I like that.
I'll try to remember it.
Another morning, another penny hits my water. Someone's tired of waking up alone. Then a little girl looks over and drops a faded quarter and hopes her daddy's finally coming home. Well, I hope he does. Too bad I'm just a hole in the ground, hopeful people looking down, their reflections at the bottom, full of doubts and dreams and problems, the loss they can't let go, or maybe a truth they're scared to know. Only time will tell, but I'm just a wishing well. Well, you could fill me with the tears that hit my water, but a well like me won't ever be enough. But there's one who's always there, answer to a prayer. So don't look down, it's time for looking up. Oh, he is love, and I am just a hole in the ground, hopeful people looking down, their reflection at the bottom, full of doubts and dreams and problems, loss they can't let go, maybe a truth they're scared to know. But only time will tell, but I'm just a wishing away. So if you're looking for forgiveness, if you're looking for a witness, if you're up against a hurt too hard to tell, well, I wish you well, I wish you well. But I'm just a hole in the ground, hopeful people looking down, their reflection at the bottom, full of doubts and dreams and problems, loss they can't let go, or maybe the truth they're scared to know. The one I know is he is the answer, he is the answer, and I'm just a wishing well. I'm just a wishing well.
Wow. Greg Wilson with us on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Thanks for sharing your songs and for taking time out of your busy writing schedule. There's so many lessons behind that song that I want, the lesson in the song, as I like to say.
Yeah.
And I want to start with, you know, when I was first doing the show, was a TV show, cable show in Cincinnati called the Nashville Songwriter Connection, because through NSAI we used to bring in hit writers.
Right.
And one such writer was Kerry Curt Phillips, who's one of my favorite writers. Mm-hmm. If you Google him, you'll see all the big hits he's had.
Right.
Kerry always used to tell me and preach, he said that he thought the most important line in a song was the line before you deliver the hook.
Yep.
And in that song, that was pretty powerful, you know. Only yeah. time will tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Me, I'm just a wishing well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I write songs. We always have the hook, and then the next thing that gets written is that setup line. You
yeah.
know? You got to have that setup. You got to have that, you know. I'm sure you do the same thing. You got to have that setup line.
I try to. Doesn't yeah. always work that way, no. but I try to. Right. I've known people that have written songs backwards with that.
Yeah.
Know, just doing it, you know. And then what's the logical line that would precede that
right.
and go from there? That's a good way to start building a chorus if you want.
Exactly.
Folks, they're just exactly. a tip. The other thing I wanted to mention, this song, you took an inanimate object and you personalized it, personified it is the word.
Right.
You have another song like that called Jewelry Box that I was listening to this morning.
Yes.
You and Michelle wrote together.
We did.
Yeah.
It was written during COVID. Yeah, it was my wife's first and only song she ever co-wrote. And she said, that's too hard and I will never do it again.
Yeah, sometimes when we're pounding our heads against the wall trying to figure, I'll just break the silence and go, songwriting's easy, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it easy? And everybody should be doing it. And you're like,
But we were holed up in our apartment at the time. We'd just come to town and COVID had hit. And at the time, we were living in Goodlettsville in a little two-bedroom apartment and didn't have much to do like anybody else. And she said, let's write a song. And she'd been throwing out ideas. And I'm like, no. And she started talking about a jewelry box. And I'm like, no. She said, what about if we tell it from the perspective of the jewelry box? I'm like, okay, you got something now, so let's do that. So we wrote it. And she's like, this is too hard. I'm not doing this again.
I love that idea. And I want to challenge you at home. In your songwriting journey, try to pick something inanimate and personify it.
Right.
And the way that you chose to do it was you were the wishing well. I am the jewelry box.
Right.
Try that on. Yeah. I know a guy who got his publishing deal writing a song from the point of view of a napkin. It was a phone number written down on him.
Yeah.
He was the napkin.
Yeah.
And it was a great song. So try that. Try that. Yeah. That's your assignment.
It's a cool method. It is. It's cool. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But
sometimes it's a push. I'll tell you a good example where it didn't work for us. We wanted to write. I went to the Louisville Slugger Museum.
All right.
Right. And I love baseball. And I thought, I want to write a song from the baseball bat's point of view. And where we started, it was, it was a piece of wood cut from an ash tree in the Catskills, and it floated down to Louisville, and that's how we started it. But we ended up, we wrote that song like four times, and it ended up being a story of a boy and his bat called Louisville Slugger.
Fabulous song, fabulous song.
But the
maybe
whole,
your best work, I think, my friend. So.
Yeah, well, and then Tim Skeen, and there were a couple of other Nashville writers, Cincinnati writers. And we've recorded it a couple of times, but the whole point was we wanted to try that, and it didn't work for us. It didn't, right. but it's a good assignment.
It is. It's
experiment
it's,
with it anyway.
Yeah. Think outside the box a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so we've talked about two ways to get out of the box: an open tuning, a different tuning, personifying something that isn't alive.
Yeah. Right. So, right.
Cool. Well, what else you been up to? You want to share one more before we go?
I'll do one more with you. I was fortunate to write this with Mr. Scott Sean White.
Oh my God, he's an amazing writer.
He is fabulous. Scott's had some recent success and with Cody Johnson.
Cody Johnson.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Scott's out on the road blazing the trail.
Texas guy?
Yeah, he's a Texas guy. Poetry, Texas.
Poetry, Texas.
What a name of a town for a songwriter. Poetry, Texas, huh?
I got to visit that place.
But this is the first time he and I actually got in a room together, and we wrote this with Paige King Johnson. I think Paige was on your
just
show.
A few weeks back.
Yeah.
She is so wonderful.
She's
what a talent.
Sweetheart. Lady. Sweetheart and great talent. She actually made her Opry appearance not too long ago. She
another one.
Was with
on
Pam Tillis. Yeah.
See, dude, it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
He manifested.
I'm riding people's coattails. So. But I write a lot of songs about my mama, to be honest with you. I got a song called Mama Was a Hell of a Man.
Mama Was a Hell of a Man. Great song.
Yeah. Yep. But this is not as, so harsh. A little softer. But we were all sitting around talking, and we decided to write a song about our mamas, and it's called That's Mama. So. When I need a good kick in the butt, that's Daddy. When I need a good laugh, that's Uncle Joe. When I need a recipe, or hear the good Lord speak to me, that's Grandma. And man, I love them all, but when I need an ear to listen, or some 3 a.m. kitchen table wisdom, a tender heart that's tough as nails, a hand to hold when I'm going through hell, the grace that I can't seem to give myself, that's Mama. And if a chicken pot pie'll make you feel better, she'll cook it.
And if a cuss word will help get the point across, you'll use it. And if there's a mountain in front of me, keeping me from my dream, Lord, she'll move it. Yeah, she'll move it. And when I need an ear to listen, or some 3 a.m. kitchen table wisdom, a tender heart that's tough as nails, a hand to hold when I'm going through hell, more grace than I could ever give myself. Oh, that's mama. Oh, mama. A secret keeper, a heart healer, and always on your side, believer. And when I need an ear to listen, or some 3 a.m. kitchen table wisdom, a tender heart that's tough as nails, a hand to hold when I'm going through hell, more grace than I could ever give myself. The one who loved me before anyone else, that's mama. Mama.
That's Greg Wilson. Oh man, what a song.
Thank you, Dave. It means a lot coming from you, my friend.
Oh my God, I'm telling you. He's a man on the verge. Remember that name.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure we're going to have you on again, and I look forward to it. And when we do, hopefully you've just stepped off that Grand Ole Opry stage.
Dave, I appreciate your support. You've always been one of the best people here in town.
And oh, God bless you.
You're the salt of the earth, and you won't find many better friends and supporters of songwriters here in Nashville. We all appreciate you so much.
And you have awesome talent, my friend. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Here on the Songwriter Connection, folks, right on. I always say, right on.
Right on.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.